Hi, I'm Ali Portee, fashion and lifestyle journalist and editor of Zayla magazine. I've always been interested in biographies and in the stories of people's lives, basically listening to what stirs their souls. Welcome to the Soulful Side of Life, where I let you in on some of my conversations with inspiring people from around the world in fashion, faith, entertainment, music, and entrepreneurship. These are conversations that stir the soul about people's journeys, about the ups and downs of life, and how they have overcome certain situations. I hope that these episodes will inspire your life in some way, so enjoy over a cup of something hot or on your drive to work. This is The Soulful Side of Life and can be found on Spotify Podcasts or Apple Podcasts. Joe Chalita is the founder of Lebanese Fashion History on Instagram, and he's the fashion editor of Marie Claire Arabia. His knowledge of Lebanese fashion history is like none other. When I think of Joe, for me, he's the Susie Minkus of Lebanese couture history. He, in this interview, in this conversation that we have, dives into Lebanon's rich couture history that goes back to the 1920s, unpacking the country's impact on the fashion industry. So enjoy this podcast episode with Joe Chalita. If you're into fashion, you're going to like it. If you're into Lebanese couture, you're going to really like it. Thank you for taking the time to chat with me today, Joe.
Sure, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I before I get into my questions, I'd like to know, I mean, obviously you're Lebanese, but what inspired you to start going after like the meat and potatoes of Lebanese fashion history to find those details?
You know, I was born and raised in Australia, and throughout my childhood, I've always been immersed into my culture, and you know, especially fashion was a really big part of our culture as well. And during the late 80s, my parents moved to Lebanon for a short period, and we lived there for about 10 years. And that period really left an imprint on me, because we returned back in the 90s back to Australia, mm-hmm. and where I further continued my studies and everything. But that period of my childhood really left an imprint on me, you know, with its significant, you know, the influence of fashion on our culture, in our daily life, and, you know, eventually ending up being a fashion designer. I had the curiosity later on to delve deeply into our history. There's a dearth amount of Lebanese fashion history out there to find out about it. And I had this curiosity, and I felt it's important to start this initiative.
Was your mom big into wearing Lebanese designers when you were growing up?
Yes, as cliched as it sounds, like most fashion designers, my mom was a great influence on me, actually. Because as I, you know, as I was growing up, especially during that period in Lebanon, there was this fashion chaos around me, like this interest about fashion and weddings and having dresses designed, you know, worthy of red carpet events. And I grew up with all this atmosphere, and I grew up seeing my mom designing, getting her clothes, like sketching and drawing, getting her dresses tailored. She used to take me to the fittings, and I was, you know, I was the only son at that time, and I was like growing up watching all this, absorbing all this, and I would see her how she actually influenced me to think out of the box, because I would see how she would go to the traditional souks, and she would find like crochet covers, like table covers. And she would take them, and she would design outfits with these. And I would see how she would buy, say, like knee-high boots. And I would go with her to the shops, and she'd buy like little crystals. And then we'd come back home, And I would just watch her, how she's like meticulously placing these beads, these crystals on her boots, you know. And I even saw her dyeing fabrics in the bathtub. Seeing all this has really influenced me to think outside of the box and to just have this creativity like run through my veins, you know.
Exactly. I can only imagine. I lived in Beirut for 3 years, and I know that obviously there were designers before Robert Abinader, but that seems to be the designer that influenced, I guess, a lot
Indeed.
of, or maybe I think he was the first for modern designers, but slightly before Elie Sabra. Maybe they came up
Yes.
at the same time, but
True.
he one of the designers that inspires you? And
Influenced the couture scene and definitely inspired me. Actually, he is one of the first designers I really looked up to, and I would watch his fashion shows and just the opulence and the drama. And what set him apart was his the Middle Eastern flair into his designs. And I think the world wasn't ready for this yet. It was something unique and different to see haute couture with a Middle Eastern flair. And that's where the spotlight turned back onto Lebanon,
yeah,
especially,
and
after the war.
okay, after the war. Before, okay, who is the first Lebanese designer that you would say put Lebanon on the map? That would go back to the 20s, right? Would you?
Well, our fashion heritage, or the haute couture of Lebanon, you could say, started in the 1920s. Through a designer who had a Russian background. She moved to Beirut in the 1920s and she opened up an atelier and and she was very successful. She had shows in Paris and in Beirut, and she was called the Chanel du Liban, so the Chanel of Lebanon. But Madame Salha, who opened up her atelier in the 1950s, she is widely recognized as Lebanon's first couturière because she had like probably the first registered proper registered business. And since then it flourished, and there were other names like Joseph Haruni, and later on William Khoury in the 70s. But prior, before that, in the 1960s, Lebanon was dressing up like celebrities around the world and making headlines, definitely.
Yeah, and how would you say that the early designers connect to, like, if Robert Abinader is like the modern one who put Lebanon on the modern map for designers with the flamboyant shows? Was he influenced? Obviously, he was influenced by these early designers, but is there a connection there, or was there some kind of break? And then you had
Oh,
Robert.
definitely there was a break. You know, we have the lost years, and these are the Civil War years of the 70s. But, Lebanon had a golden peak again from the 60s when it was known as Paris of the East. It had its second renaissance, if you could say, in the 90s. And that's where Robert Abinader and Elie Saab came through. And they were a fresh generation, a post-war generation, you could say, that were influenced by this golden era, and it was like a fresh page for Lebanon.
I find that really fascinating because what we see on the couture runways are, Georges Chartres and Elie Saab and Zuhair, but there's obviously a history before them
Oh,
of,
definitely. Like in the 1960s, for example. We have Madame Salha. She made headlines through her designs. She designed for royalty that came to Lebanon, like Queen Soraya of Persia. We had also Farah Diba or Farah Pahlavi, also the Shah's third wife. They both came to Lebanon and had dresses made by Madame Salha. But the headlines came through when she made a dress for Lebanon's prime minister's daughter, Lamia, who married in 1961 the Prince of Morocco, Moulay Abdallah, in 1961. And at the time, she made the longest wedding train for her. And she was featured in Paris Match, and she was also featured in a German on the cover of a German magazine celebrating the longest train in the world. And Madame Sarha was also very well known in Paris. And the recognition of Madame Sarha was actually underscored by François Lesage of Maison Lesage in Paris, who hailed Madame Sarha as the Christian Dior of the East, emphasizing her influence on Parisian embroidery. She was very well known for her embroidery, for her Arab royalty that were her clientele at the time.
Because and another question that is related to that is Lebanese, like Madame Saha, she was already impacting the French culture with her designs. Why do we not see a Lebanese creative director at one of these big European fashion houses, in your opinion? I think it would be great to have a Lebanese designer as the creative director for one of these big houses, because the Lebanese have been influencing European fashion for a long time.
Okay. I find Lebanese people, they have a dream, is to ultimately have their own fashion brand. That's why they probably do go to European fashion houses for the experience, but they eventually like to establish their own labels. However, we do note that not all designers have the dream to create, to have their own atelier or their own fashion house, but the majority do.
And so you could never imagine, well, I don't want to say never, but you couldn't imagine one of the big Lebanese designers going and becoming creative director of one of these big European houses. It just wouldn't fit their desire for their own.
I think this is a very subjective question, to be honest. But I definitely do see a Lebanese designer being creative director for European fashion house because they're definitely qualified, and they have all that takes to be a creative director for sure.
Yeah, perhaps it's more so a question for these big houses, the ones at the top making these decisions, because I'd love to see a Lebanese.
We would like to see their point of view, actually, looking onto Lebanon as outsiders and the creativity that's coming from there, and how they would see it fit, how it fits into their narrative.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, I guess when you look at Valentino and they pick Italian creative directors, which is great. You want to pick your own
Yeah.
country's talent. And I guess, as the
Because
Lebanese.
that's keeping true to their heritage and legacy.
Right.
And this is probably one of the problems we've had in Lebanon, for example, because we've embraced Westernization in Lebanon, and that's where we are today. We have lost a bit of our heritage, and that's the reason Lebanese fashion history is born, to look back onto this heritage. So asking me why European fashion houses not employ a Lebanese, well, I would say maybe at times they would want to preserve their heritage by keeping a European mindset and experience and history.
That's true. And I guess, 100 years from now, hopefully Elie Saab and Zuhair Mourad will always hire
A
Lebanese.
Lebanese, for sure, and stay true to the vision and to the Lebanese experience. And speaking about that, I think Lebanese designers have an advantage, probably more so than other designers from other continents, because Lebanese designers beautifully reflect the essence of their geographic position, which is nestled as the gateway between the East and West. And they draw inspiration from both worlds, blending the allure of the Orient and the sophistication of the Occident. So they have this advantage of being influenced by two opposite worlds, due to our geographical location.
Yeah, and just also the political history of being conquered or colonized by other powers, that without that, I don't think Lebanon would have the fashion history that it has,
That
because
it has,
the
exactly.
Romans, the Ottomans, all of these groups.
Definitely. And this is evident not only through Lebanon's fashion and the fashion designers of today. This is also evident in our food. Lebanese food is internationally known and recognized, and it is undoubtedly one of the best cuisines in the world. And that's because it reflects this history as well as fashion, the influence of different occupations and different cultures that we've had in the past, and this is what makes it uniquely Lebanese.
Yeah, I would say, yeah. It's a really fascinating country and culture. And as an American, well, especially a Black American living there, it had its challenges, but I've never seen another culture hustle the way that the Lebanese do. The Lebanese are
It's a
entrepreneurial
skill.
in their essence, and they can make a business out of anything. And I always say you could drop a Lebanese person in the middle of some village in the middle of nowhere in China and America and South America, and they have $5, and you come back in 5 or 10 years and they're millionaires because and they've created some kind of business.
In Lebanon, we jokingly say this is perhaps the Phoenician DNA. Because, as the world's first seafarers that connected the Mediterranean through their colonies, and they've sailed from Tyre, the most ancient Phoenician city, which is modern day Lebanon, and Tyre still exists in Lebanon till today. And this is where Lebanese fashion history started, I would say, from Tyre. It gave the it gave a gift to the world, the birth of the color purple that came from Tyre, Lebanon,
Wow, I
which is
didn't.
also known as the Tyrian purple.
Okay, that's quite fascinating. Yeah, the Lebanese have certainly made an impact on the world. I think, like, when I moved to Lebanon, a lot of my friends are like, oh, where's that? Like, people may not know a lot about Lebanon. I think guys, like, when I remember I was in college and guys would say, oh, yeah, Lebanese girls are the hottest girls. Like, that's the only thing they could say about Lebanon.
Yeah,
But
I think probably the
you're
war years, the 70s, have affected the media, and it had shut Lebanon from the global context, which is unfortunate. But from the 80s, from the 90s, I would say Lebanon had gotten up on its knees, and it's making positive headlines as well, especially through fashion, because the Lebanese are heavily creative and artistic people.
Yeah, and there's so many Lebanese outside of Lebanon in various cities
Definitely.
in the world. So I
Yes,
just
the
only
diaspora is huge.
it is. And if that talent was back in Lebanon, Lebanon would be one of the most top.
Imagine. Well, it would be back to the glorious golden era of the 60s, where the international jet set, had ventured into Lebanon. And the 60s was a significant time for Lebanon. The many things happened in Lebanon before they happened in Europe. Or Lebanon would be the first country that would host events or open up fashion boutiques. It was always a leader culturally in fashion as well.
For sure. Why do you think that there's more male Lebanese design couture designers than female Lebanese couture designers?
I don't think there's an answer for that, and or I don't think there's a reason to cause this. Probably throughout history, you could say that there's been more male designers perhaps than female. It's because maybe perhaps men have a vision for how women would look. Not that I'm saying that women don't have that vision, of course they do. But sometimes when you're designing for the opposite gender, perhaps could be more refreshing
Because when I think of Lebanese couture female designers, Rim Akra is probably one of the few I could name, in Fadwa Balbaki for couture.
For famous, yeah, today, yeah, but there are a lot of upcoming young designers that that I think are great and that they're doing well, and so many male designers as well today in Lebanon,
It's
and
amazing.
I can see that they will keep soaring, especially not forgetting what Lebanon's gone through again in recent years. Just like all countries, what we went through COVID, but then we also just before that, actually, we had the economic crisis and the revolution, and to top it off with the explosion. But Lebanese people are resilient, and the artistic community, as I am in touch with the community, they're very resilient, and they keep Lebanon's name soaring positively.
Yes, for sure. Okay, so my last question is, how would you describe where Lebanese couture fashion is today? That's a very broad question, but yeah, just in your mind, where is it at today, I guess, in comparison to the European designers?
I think Lebanese designers have truly made a name for themselves. They are synonymous with the red carpet as red carpet designers, as you know, like through Ali Saab, Zuhair Mrad, George Chakra, and many, many designers that are dressing Hollywood celebrities, international celebrities on the red carpet. And the Lebanese people definitely, or the Lebanese designers, are on par with other European designers that that design haute couture. And definitely Lebanon is a fashion capital in the world for sure.
Yeah, it's amazing to also see the number of Westerners at the couture shows for Lebanese designers. So people, women know, in countries around the world, if they're into fashion, they know the names of the
Of
Lebanese.
Lebanese designers. And sometimes, like when you look at the awards, the Oscars or the Emmy Awards, you notice that many, many designers, if not the majority at times, in certain times, there have been more celebrities dressed in Lebanese designers than other designers. So definitely Lebanon had made it. But I think it is underestimated at times, maybe through the media, where it should be named as a fashion capital for sure.
Yeah, at least for couture, because I haven't done the research, but I would argue that Lebanese designers are the number one non-American designers on the award season red carpet. Overall, I don't even think the Filipinos, or African designers, it's Lebanon who's number one.
Definitely, definitely, and this is seen, also in the Gulf, where many Lebanese designers have great presence and are in the spotlight, which also gives them push, because now Dubai also is regarded as a beacon of culture in the Middle East, and the Lebanese designers are definitely helping to shape the scenario as well, and it gives them more of a broader platform than just Beirut.
For sure. And I'm curious because I know when for red carpet award season, stylists will present the actress, even up until a few hours before that award show, a rack of dresses. I'm curious, I'm not asking you, but it would be a question for an actress. Do they know Lebanese designers, or are they just going by that dress is beautiful and I want to wear it and it happens to be designed by a Lebanese person?
Yeah, no, I think I'm sure definitely they do know, because Lebanese people are everywhere, and every person knows a Lebanese. When I meet some like people from other nationalities and I say I'm Lebanese, they're always like, oh, of course, we have Lebanese friends, of Lebanon. Oh my God, like you're such a glamorous culture. And I think our reputation is well known in that aspect. And you have celebrities like J Lo and other celebrities that are always wearing Lebanese designers. And I'm sure some other celebrities would probably look up to them or would wonder who designed her dress. And for sure, they would know, for example, who Elie Saab is and where Lebanon is.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of people want to go. I've had a lot of women, they're like, I want to go, who have the money to buy a couture dress, but I
Yeah.
think they don't know how to do it. For it seems a little intimidating, I think, for them to like, oh, when I get off the plane in Beirut, where do I go? It's to venture all the way to the Middle East.
No, it's like any other cult country when you travel, it's the same. But I think the disadvantage that we've had is due to the political climate in the region, unfortunately. It doesn't, it's not the reality at times because life does continue. Or the reality, yes, there is problem, there are problems in the region, but doesn't mean it stops Lebanon from going on and continuing.
Yeah, for sure.
And you've lived there and you do know how it is really.
Yeah. It's one of the most beautiful countries I've ever been to. And if it weren't for the racism, I would have lived there for 30 years, 20, 30 years. It's not
Wow,
because of the
really?
problem. It's not because of the political problems or, structural problems, whatever. I would have, because my money came from outside, so I wasn't
Okay.
affected in
But
that
yeah.
regard. But it was just how the society can be and the mentality sometimes of the people.
Yeah. I think that's because Lebanon culturally, I would say our culture is multicultural almost because it's mixed. Like our culture, like we speak several languages, and you know how we mix three languages in one sentence or in our conversations. So we have this openness, but unfortunately, we are a monoculture. We don't have multicultural communities, and that's where probably the racism stems from. Unlike other countries where it's all multicultural, but their culture is not necessarily multicultural. Lebanon's, it's like works the other way. The culture is influenced by different cultures, but the culture itself, like the people are only, the majority are Lebanese. Obviously, you have some refugee communities and whatever, but in general, yeah, we don't have a lot of different communities, and I think that's probably one disadvantage.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I compare Lebanese culture to Spanish culture because the Spanish are very warm and nice people, but they're very closed.
Yeah.
And their friends, and I think maybe this is a Mediterranean thing. Your friends are your cousins and people you've known since your whole life. So there's no room or a mindset like the way a Canadian or American would be like, oh, there's this new Chinese person, let me invite them into my friend group. The Lebanese don't think that way. The Spanish don't think that way because you're.
Yeah, I think the Lebanese people are very hospitable, and they would like to open up their arms for different people from different backgrounds. But like you said, yes, there's an emphasis on family. And like you said, so it's an emphasis on family and friends. And as a Lebanese myself, because as I said, I grew up in Australia and I moved to Lebanon as an adult. I never lived in Beirut before. In 2011, when I moved to Lebanon. And, even though my background's Lebanese, but I did find this difficulty as well because I did find that the Lebanese tend to stick to their family and their circle, I found it a little bit challenging at times.
And
Yeah.
lonely. It was quite lonely for me sometimes because they don't invite you into their homes. Maybe a coffee at Starbucks, but Americans are like, oh, come over to my house for a barbecue for someone they barely know, come into my home. I don't find the Lebanese to be that open. Like they have to really know you. to have you into the house.
Yes, I feel like they do. They would not casually just invite someone, but at the same time, they're very hospitable. Once they know you, they have to know you, I think, first.
Yeah, whereas
Feel
Americans don't.
more of a connection, a genuine, authentic connection, and then they would move forward.
Yeah, it takes some time. So,
Yeah.
yeah, but
Well, hopefully on your next trip,
yeah.
Ali, give it another go since you loved it.
Yeah, I was there last September. That was my first time being back after a few years. And then I'll be
Oh,
there
wow.
again in May, the end of May after Cannes Film Festival. So, thank you for taking the time to chat. You're like the Susie Mankus of Lebanese fashion design.
Oh, that's an honor. For sure. And thank you for having me. It was a pleasure chatting to you. And can't wait to hear about your experiences in Lebanon again in May, and enjoy your stay.
Thank you. Have a wonderful evening.
Thanks.
I hope that you enjoyed this podcast episode and that you have found a soulful connection to the conversation. God bless you, and until the next episode, go bless somebody else.